I'm Peter Solomon. This is The Morning Show on Minnesota's Jazz Station 88.5. I am happy to be joined this morning by pianist Pamela York. She's got a brand new trio project called The Affinity Trio. The album is New Outlook. It's a new release on Origin Records. And that ensemble, including trumpeter Eric Jacobson and bassist Clay Schaub with Pamela York on piano, are going to be playing Berlin Friday night. I thought we'd first get to know Pamela a little bit. Pamela, could you tell me about where you're from and how you became introduced to jazz?
Well, I grew up on Vancouver Island, British Columbia, in Nanaimo, and I got started in jazz pretty early on. Some great players like Ingrid Jensen, trumpeter Ingrid Jensen, and her sister Christine Jensen, and Diana Krall, they all went to my high school. So we had a strong jazz program in high school, led by my band director, Brian Stovall. So it was pretty clear to me early on what I wanted to do. I saw Ingrid and Diana doing great things with music, and the sound coming out of the horn or getting lessons with Diana when I was a teenager was wonderful. It was a great start. And so that's kind of how I got started in a nutshell. That's where I'm from, but I've been in the US for quite some time. My husband's from Tennessee and we got married. We've been married 30 years now, so I've been here a while.
So speaking of Tennessee, I read that part of your education was in Knoxville, and I think that's where Donald Brown is. Can you talk about the time you worked with him? Was he important in your development?
Absolutely. In fact, I applied to that program at the University of Tennessee specifically to study with Donald. I had heard him live in Boston when I was a student at Berkeley. When Phineas Newborn Jr. died, they had a tribute concert with Mulgrew Miller and James Williams and Jeff Keyser and Donald Brown played, and I was just blown away by his playing. They all played solo piano, and I thought, well, maybe someday I'll study with him. I kind of put it on the back burner, and then when it came time to apply for graduate school, I was able to get a teaching assistantship and, you know, paid for my tuition to go study with Donald. And absolutely, the blues, playing modern, playing swing, and not just you know, I can play swing eights, but really digging in and having a very mature, developed feel and groove was so important to him, and it became very important to me. And I can't say enough about Donald, just the way he helped me as a composer, the way he helped me at the piano, and the things he pointed me to listen to were just foundational.
Tell me about the Chicago jazz scene and where you fit in there. Like, are you an educator in Chicago?
I'm not. I'm just playing right now, and I live north in Lake County, so I'm halfway between Milwaukee and Chicago. So I would say most of my gigs are in Milwaukee, and I'm not complaining because the traffic's lighter and it's so much easier to get to downtown Milwaukee. But yeah, I've been a part of the Chicago scene for a few years. I moved here right before COVID, like a couple months. So it took me a long time, just because the venues were closed for such a long time. It took me a long time to get established, but I kind of just now feel like I'm playing with the people I want to play with. And I've played at Winters, the Jazz Showcase, and some of the venues that people think of when they think of Chicago. So I feel like I've kind of got the best of both worlds, where I'm traveling back and forth.
Tell me about how the Affinity Trio came about.
Yeah, one of my first ventures downtown when I first moved here was to go to Andy's Jazz Club, and Mark Colby, tenor player, was playing there, and Eric Jacobson was playing trumpet, and I kind of thought, wow, Eric really sounds great, and I met him after the gig, and he gave me his card, and he said, I booked the Jazz Estate, and, you know, let's keep in touch. Well, of course, then that next month, you know, things shut down for COVID, and we didn't really stay in touch. I started live streaming during COVID, and I get this message on Facebook Messenger from Eric. Hey, great job today. I was playing along with you. And I said, well, why don't you come and be a guest? And, you know, we'll play some duo. And so that started. And then a couple months later in 2021, Eric had a house concert. He asked Clay and I to do it. It worked out beautifully. And then when the Pfister Hotel in Milwaukee started having music again at Mason Street Grill, they gave Eric a once a month gig. He asked me and Clay to do it. And I think it used to be a quartet gig, but it ended up just being a trio to start off with. Once a month on a Monday. And after the first one, Eric said, I'm going to ask for a weekly gig. And he did. And that's how we got started, just from our weekly gig there. Developed quite a repertoire and chemistry and all those things that you get when you work with people a lot.
Yeah, so I was thinking about the premise for, or the precedent for piano, trumpet, and bass. And I could think back to like one album from the mid-90s that had Stephen Scott and Chris McBride and Roy Hargrove doing like different combinations of Charlie Parker tunes. I don't know if you know that album, but not too many other instances. So can you talk about like that instrumentation? What advantages does it hold for you, and how is it maybe interesting to write for?
You know, just because we started off that way as a group, I can't really imagine any other combination. So it's actually quite interesting how you can write a tune, and if you just bring it to that trio without hearing it as a quartet or in any other way, it works. And I've been surprised myself thinking, how is this going to sound with just the three of us? And then I'm always surprised that it works. I think Clay has a very percussive, big sound on the bass that just propels the music forward. And he is very easy to play with. Eric's got such a singing sound on the trumpet, a beautiful tone, and we're able to make it work. We have performed with drums just a few times, and that's been a lot of fun too. But we're so used to playing with just the trio that I don't think we've made a point of, I'm going to write this for the trio. But the tunes we've brought in have just kind of organically happened and have been very satisfying to write for.
Can you talk about like the approach that maybe Eric takes on some of the tunes that he brought that's on your new album versus how you've approached writing for the group, and or maybe Clay?
Clay, we often say his tunes should be in, his compositions should be in movies. They're so cinematic. They're so fresh, different. They've got kind of different, unexpected harmonies brought in that you wouldn't think of. In fact, sometimes we get his music and we're just kind of trying to figure it out. Then once we get it, oh yeah, this is great, Clay. You know, thank you. Eric's tunes are more hard bop, I would say, oriented, so at least the ones that we've played with Affinity Trio. And those have been a lot of fun, just rhythmically, and sometimes he'll bring something in and we might suggest, oh, let's try this for the intro, or let's take this part of the tune And, you know, sometimes he's willing to, oh, okay, well, if you don't play this chord there, what would you play? And we'll try out some different voicings. But he really does come with them almost 100% ready to play and record in more of like a hard driving kind of sound. And of course, he's got his own quintet, so that it makes sense that he's got that influence from playing in a quintet and quartet settings. And then for me, I'm classically trained, so I think some of those elements sometimes come out in my compositions. But I, again, with studying with Donald and others, I've really got a good foundation in the blues and a strong groove too. So I think all those elements combine, and we don't make a conscious effort to say we're going to write in this style, or we need this or that, as the tunes are written and we develop them.
Are there like some favorite moments of yours on this recording, like some highlights, some like maybe surprises that came about as you were playing through the tunes in the studio?
Yes, we did a recording of A Child Is Born by Thad Jones, and we decided that, Eric, you just take it. We're not going to solo on it. And I think it came out really beautifully. We have this intro that we do that's Oscar Peterson's A Hymn to Freedom. Oscar originally recorded it in B-flat, and A Child Is Born is in B-flat. So I don't know when this happened, maybe a year and a half ago, I started playing that as the intro, and it really fit and set up A Child Is Born nicely. I really like the way that came out. Early on, it was one of my favorites. You know, speaking of playing without drums and really having to drive, we did Kenny Dorham's Una Mas, and we even, you know, did the Latin shout chorus and everything, and I think it works in our way, even though that one, again, it's something in that kind of groove is a lot of fun with drums. That was a lot, very inspiring and enjoyable to play.
Do you have any other projects apart from the Affinity Trio that are either, you know, just recently released or just on the horizon for you?
Yeah, I don't actually. It's something I need to think about, but I've been 100% focused on this group right now. But I've got one kid who's got a couple years of high school left, and I think once he's in college, I'm going to have some more time to devote to my own projects. I would really enjoy doing a solo piano album one day. I've done quite a few solo live streams on YouTube, and it's always a lot of fun and challenging. You never feel like you're ready, though. You know, I think that's why a lot of jazz pianists put off solo piano projects. You never feel like you're quite ready. There's always Art Tatum to compare yourself with, or, you know, Oscar Peterson or Hank Jones, those players who just, Chick Corea, who played solo piano so beautifully and creatively. So I think it takes a long time to develop, longer than your ensemble type playing and comping, in my opinion. So I would like to do that eventually one day, and then maybe record another trio album. I did a couple with Sebastian Whitaker on drums and Lynn Seaton on bass. Sebastian passed away a couple years before I moved to Chicago. So, you know, I've kind of retired some of those arrangements for now and just let them kind of sit. And one day I hope I'm going to do a piano-based drums project again.
Uh, I'm looking forward to your concert at Berlin. Is there anything else that you want to say either about that upcoming gig or about the new recording?
Well, I just encourage everyone to come out. It's interesting because we have had a couple people who have been skeptical and said, you know, I came here with so-and-so and I was really disappointed you didn't have drums. But then after the set, I understood, you know, I got it. And I really appreciate hearing every nuance in the group on the bass and on the trumpet and the piano. So I think you'll still find listeners and anyone who attends will still find an enjoyable and spirit-filled percussive group. And I just encourage everyone to check it out. And if you can be there at Berlin, I'd love to say hello.